FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by Blue Sky Uranium Corporation. Blue Sky has first mover advantage in Argentina in the world's newest uranium and vanadium district. With an existing near surface deposit that's open for expansion, Blue Sky also controls a massive district scale land package with mineralization along a 145 kilometer long trend. Blue Sky possesses tremendous exploration upside and is an excellent leverage play on rising uranium and vanadium prices. The company is run by a best-in-class management and technical team with proven exploration and development success in Argentina. Blue Sky Uranium trades under the ticker symbol BSK on the Toronto Venture Exchange and as BKUCF on the OTC. For more information and to stay on top of the latest news, go to blueskyuranium.com. That's blueskyuranium.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 5/15/19. Well, gold's kind of been in a little bit of a rut. It went up a couple of days ago, pulled back a little bit just under that 1300 per ounce mark. Well, it's really become a test of wills. Will the metal community stick to it or is it going to be overrun? Well, it's a good question. With us now is Peter Hug, Director, Global Trading, Kitco Metals. First, as always, email us any questions or comments. Be a part of the show at kl@kerrylutz.com. So, Peter, when last we spoke a number of months ago, we were kind of sitting in the same situation we're sitting in now, just watching paint dry. What is going on here?
Well, yeah, I mean... You know, if I remember our conversation, a couple of months back, I mean, it was really, it's difficult to answer that question sort of as a black and white answer. It's more the answer to the question would be more geared to, what the psychology of the investor or the trader was at the time that we had the first discussion. And again, if the context of your precious metals positions is one of holding a position in precious metals as a hedge, or at least as part of a balanced portfolio against your entire portfolio, then, really you should be relatively happy here. I mean, the equity markets, although they've experienced some pain over the past 3 or 4 days because of the China-US tariff war, the equity markets have performed fairly well. The gold market hasn't tanked. It's sort of held its own. So from a balanced portfolio perspective, you should be relatively happy. If you were a trader over the past couple of months, there's been a myriad of opportunities to be in and out of this market. If your analysis on the market is more towards a technical perspective, the market has bounced extremely well off support lines and sold off at resistance lines. So there's been, again, ample opportunity to trade this market effectively and generate gains. So, again, to answer your question, it's more how are you looking at this market and what is the purpose behind you holding gold? And against that concept, I can give you maybe a bit more of a rational might be the wrong word, but maybe a clearer response to your question.
Mm-hmm. So, but as far as appreciation of gold, it's been in this range for years now. It's like 2-3, I guess it's going on 3 years. It's in this channel. And every time it gets close to that 1350, 1383 range, it pulls back. And we've seen it, I think about 4 times now. So, right. As far as longer term pricing of the yellow metal, where do you see it here?
Well, I think there's probably going to be some resolution to the U.S.-China trade dispute, at least as it comes to goods and services. Where I think the issue with China continues to be and has always been has been on the intellectual property side. And, I'm not sure, that's going to be resolved anytime soon. So, the question of the trade war that has sort of been in the news for the past week is more, sort of relevant to the equity markets and certainly companies that have exposure to China. From a gold perspective, though, I do think that we are in the beginnings, at least certainly not in the beginnings in from a Japanese perspective. They're well along their way, and the Europeans, I think, are well along their way as well to a significant slowdown in their economies. And I see that sort of rolling over into the U.S. economy probably later this year. We were looking at third quarter. We think the Fed is going to stop raising interest rates. We think that the earnings power of U.S. companies and the U.S. economy is definitely on a slowdown path. So we think the next move in the Fed is going to be lower interest rates, which is price positive for the commodity index. But if you take it into an overall scope in the short term, I think we're looking for a global slowdown, which is generally not good for any commodity complex. And assuming we don't have a geopolitical issue with North Korea or Iran, we think that, the markets are probably going to tread water for at least the next 6 months without a significant breakout, assuming, again, no geopolitical event. But we think at these levels, holding gold, if you are not already invested in gold from a balanced portfolio perspective, is a valid investment. So again, it depends on the psychology of how you're looking at this market. If you want a balanced portfolio, we certainly believe that investors that are in the gold market or have not yet participated in the gold market from a portfolio perspective should certainly consider holding their percentage allocation in gold within their portfolio. We certainly don't think this is a time you want to be liquidating your gold because we think there are a number of macro risks in the market that could surface at any moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's everybody's saying, well, pretty soon. We've been hearing it for years now. So do you think so?
But again, let me ask you there, Kerry. I've had a number of my clients when I write my blogs say that same thing. I mean, when you say pretty soon, what is it that you're expecting?
Well,
and I asked the question in this context.
Sure.
And I got hammered when I wrote this in my blog, in my commentary about a week ago. You really got to be careful what you wish for. And so if you're an investor that's got everything they own in gold and they don't own a home and they don't have any IRA investments, they're basically, they have a modicum of cash. Mm-hmm. They have absolutely no other assets. And they have 100% of whatever assets they do have in gold. Yeah, you want the end of the world to come. you want the stock market to tank down to 5,000, and you want the U.S. financial system to collapse. again, what percentage of the U.S. population is representative in that model?
Oh,
I mean,
tiny,
most
tiny.
People, most people own a home or... they have some type of retirement fund. They have some assets that are, sensitive to geopolitical events and financial events. So for those individuals who want gold to be at $2,000 an ounce, I think is counterproductive because, what is that going to do to your IRA? And what is that going to do to the value of your home? I mean, just go back to 2008. I mean, do you want to go through that again? Unless you've got like a serious allocation of your portfolio in gold. Now, right. Most investors that are in the gold market have an allocation to gold, whether it's 5, 10, 20%, whatever that allocation is. So So that is meant more as a balance to your portfolio and not meant to go to $2,000 an ounce, because the other 80% is going to get hammered. So again, I come to the point as, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. I think no thinking person wants to see a major global economic collapse or anything even near the scale of what we saw in 08 and 09 here, for sure. But doesn't it seem like with all the turmoil and all the money printing and increase in debt, government debt and debt at every level of society, and not just in the U.S., but really all over the place, doesn't it seem like intuitively that the price should be higher than it is now?
Absolutely. And I'm not arguing with the fact that gold's value at $1,300 is probably undervalued. And that's why I continue to suggest that investors that are holding gold as part of their portfolio should not consider selling their gold. I know it's like watching paint dry right now, but again, it's the psychology of why you're in that investment. If you're looking strictly from a capital gains perspective and you're looking to be active in the gold market, then I think you need to look at gold the same way you would look at the other assets that are in your portfolio, other than obviously your home, which is obviously not as liquid and difficult to trade in and out. But, you know, let's assume Apple stock. I mean, just to give you that example, I mean, 4 months ago, it was at 220. It went down in January down to a low of about 130, then rallied back to 210. Today, it's at 185. So you could trade gold the same way you could trade other assets. And in that context, there have been ample opportunities to be in and out of the market, assuming that your timing is accurate, and made a return on your investment that would have been equal to what you could have made in certain stocks, you know, other than blow-off stocks that are an IPO or something like that. But if you look at gold, I mean, it traded down at 1280, went to 1350, went back now down to 1268, which was the 200-day moving average, rallied up to 302 yesterday. So there's ample opportunity if you are a trader, if that's your psychology, to make money in the gold market. But as an investor that's just holding a portion of their gold as sort of a balance to the rest of their portfolio, the noise that happens every day is just something, in my opinion, that should be ignored.
Yeah, so it's just noise. And so, you know, it's like it really brings out the conspiracy theories, though, the conspiracy theorist, if you will. I'd say it's more a hypothesis than a theory, but that somehow nefarious forces are at work suppressing the price of gold.
Okay, but there's only one way, and again, I'm going to probably get hammered on this when I say this.
We like controversy here, for sure. Well,
but let me make one statement. And, you know, J.P. Morgan is always sort of the nefarious player out there that is the manipulator of the gold market that is moving the gold price lower by selling COMEX contracts short. Mm-hmm. But there is no possible way that J.P. Morgan can sell a 100-ounce gold contract on the COMEX unless there is a buyer on the other side. You can't just sell gold into a vacuum. It's like you can't go out and sell 1,000 shares of Apple at $200 if there's no bid at $200. You can only sell your 100 shares of Apple if there's another buyer on the other side that is prepared to pay the $200 for your 100 shares of Apple. Mm-hmm. That's just the way a market works. It doesn't matter what the commodity is or the equity is or whether it's a bond or whether it's your house. Mm-hmm. You may think your house is worth $500,000, but if a buyer's only willing to pay $200,000, that's what you're going to sell your house for. Right. Or you don't sell your house.
Oh, we agree on that for sure.
Okay, so if J.P. Morgan wants to come in and hammer the gold market at $1,300 and sell 1,000 contracts, the only way they can get off at $1,300 is if there's a bidder on the other side buying the 1,000 contracts. Mm-hmm. So who is the buyer?
That's a great question that you raise, because if you watch that COT report and you have the commercials and you have the speculators, the commercials always make money, or virtually all the time, and the speculators always lose money. Who are these suckers that keep coming into the market? I know W.C. Fields said or was it P.T. Barnum, there's a sucker born every second and two to catch him? But why do these speculators keep speculating and losing money? When you look at the COT report, it's the same always. The market's always following the commercials.
Yeah, they're following the commercials. But then on that context, if JP Morgan is going naked short at $1,300, and I guarantee you, if the next news bite out of the whatever news channel you're watching is the U.S. attacks Iran, I guarantee you gold will be at $1,380 or $1,400 in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, we've seen it.
And so what does JP Morgan do with a short position at $1,300? They have two options when that contract matures. First of all, they're going to have to meet margin. Now they're a huge bank, so they can meet margin.
Yeah, they'll put up some T-bills.
But at maturity of that contract, assuming that the gold price does not come back south of $1,300, they're going to have two options. They're going to have to deliver in the gold that they've sold, or they're going to have to roll the short contract into the next active month, which means they'll have to take a book loss. Mm-hmm. Now, if they take a book loss, that means on their reporting, on their financial reporting, they're going to have to report that in their trading unit, they lost $100 million.
Right.
And that's going to hit their stock price. So it's just not that black and white, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
And, you know, the people that believe that the big players have an interest in pounding gold down to $1,100, they certainly have the right to participate.
Mm-hmm.
You can open up a commodities account with a number of brokers and go short. You can go short on the COMEX as an individual.
Very true.
So, you know, you can play with the big boys. If you think the big boys want it lower and you believe they're going to drive it lower, short the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you're getting the pushback is from the individuals that have bought physical gold because they've been told by analysts and people that are in the gold market that sell gold because it's in their interest not to be bearish. If you're a retail seller of gold, the last thing you want to do is tell your clients, I think the market is going lower.
I've never heard it said yet. I've heard them say, you know, we could be in for a bumpy spell right here, but in the long term, it's going higher.
It's always long term. Yeah. It's going higher.
Right.
So buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. So, you know, these individuals have been holding gold and they've been encouraged to buy gold when it got up to $1,900 in 2011. And now they need some kind of, how can I say this? Some kind of vindication that they made the right decision, but the decision was wrong because there are big players out there manipulating the market lower.
Mm-hmm.
That I think there is a part of that in this equation. But again, when I go to a conference and somebody says to me, you know, gold's always getting pushed down by the big guys, we can't win in this. Well, you can be on that side of the trade.
Yeah.
You don't just have to be along the gold market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I totally get what you're saying. And I definitely think there's some truth to it. It's just peculiar that the commercials, you know, 99% of the time are always right. And, you know, you watch the COT report, clockwork.
They're seeing the flows. They're seeing supply and demand. The one thing that the bigger players do, and there I'm, you know, you can call it manipulation. I call it trading. You get close to a support level. So a big house, it's got the juice behind them, might try to, you know, sell 1,000 contracts, see if they can break through that support level and see if they can wash it down because there are other players in the market, mutual funds, other buyers in the market that have algos in the market as well, that if the market breaks this level, support is broken, we need to sell, that drives the market lower. So by a larger firm coming in and selling, 1,000 contracts at support to try to break support with the anticipation that that will wash the market down $20 so they can pick it up and make a $20 profit. I absolutely agree that that happens daily, but it happens everywhere. It happens in stock markets. It happens in the bond market. I mean, if there is a 200-day moving average at Apple at 180, there's going to be a firm in there that's going to try to sell 500,000 shares of Apple at 180 to try to drop it below 180 so that the other technical indicators from other firms will create a sell activity as well, drive Apple down by 10 bucks so they can pick it up 10 bucks lower and make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
It's all trading. That's what they do. Now, it sounds bad, but that's been the nature of the trading market ever since trading has been legally allowed on the exchanges since they were invented. Yeah, that's just the nature of the market.
You're allowed to, obviously, you're allowed to make a trade, even if it's a trade, as long as your intent isn't to manipulate the market per se, you can pretty much do whatever you want. And if it drives the market down and you pick it up on the short side, so much the better.
Well, is that manipulation because you've got the juice to do it? I mean, they called the Hunts of manipulators back in 1979, 1980, because they cornered the silver market. They did nothing illegal. Absolutely nothing illegal. All they did was they went in and they bought futures contracts and they paid their legal margins to hold those contracts. And they had the juice from their oil business to buy hundreds of thousands of contracts and basically drove the price higher. And they were blamed for manipulating the silver market in 79, 80. I don't consider that manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, well, but, you know, obviously the big banks have superior information to all the other players in the market.
That's the same in the stock market. Doing the Uber IPO at $45 for the retail investors and 2 days later, it's down to 15%. Is that not a manipulation?
And they were naked shorting it too. They were.
And shorting it as well, because they have the ability of doing it. Yeah, the big guys out there can move this market to their ability. And in that context, you could call it manipulation. But that's just the nature of the game. If you believe that you can participate in that game, you do have the ability. The CFTC does not make it illegal for a retail investor to short the market. You just need to have your proper margin. And if you're wrong, you need to be able to come up with maintenance margin.
Yeah.
And it's an extremely risky trade, but you can certainly be on the short side of this market. It's not like it's closed to retail investor and only open to the big boys. In that context, I would certainly say the market is manipulated or controlled.
Hey, and also for commodities, as long as it's not stocks and securities, you're allowed to trade on insider information. There's no prohibitions against it.
Well, again, insider information. If I knew Trump was coming out right in 10 minutes from now, I'm going to declare war on Iran, I'd be buying gold. Now, yes, that, from what I understand, at least from a legal perspective, I'm not a lawyer, is not illegal.
Right.
Because there is no insider information on commodities trading.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I knew that Apple was going to announce a loss because a guy on the board of directors there gave me a call and said, we're going to come up with really bad financials tomorrow. And I shorted the stock. That is insider information.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I get what you're saying. And I think
do the big boys know ahead of time that Trump's going to declare war before the retail investor? Absolutely.
For sure they do.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's just the nature of the market. And, you know, if you don't like the market, well, then
don't play.
Don't play.
Yeah. Don't do it if you don't like it. But it's always been the case. The individual always been at a disadvantage, you know, in the stock market. In theory, if you played longer term, and even to this day, if you play longer term investing, the algorithms really can't touch you there. Yeah, you're going to pay maybe a little more from the high frequency trade. But, you know, when you're doing like Buffett type investing in the long run, the algorithms really don't affect you in that instance, not meaningfully.
No, and I agree with you. And I think the fundamentals eventually bear out the market. And if the fundamentals indicate that gold should be at $1,400, gold will be at $1,400. Now, in the interim, you've got to go with sort of the volatility in the market. But if you believe that the intrinsic value of gold is $1,400 and you believe that the macro fundamentals indicate that that's where gold should go, then unless you're a trader, then you hold your gold as part of your portfolio, and you sleep at night. But trying to blame why the market isn't at $1,900 right now, I mean, it isn't. And it's just as simple as that. It isn't. Is it worth $1,900? You could make an argument it is. I could make an argument gold's worth $1,100. Mm-hmm. You need to sort of make your decision as to what you want to do and why you want to do it, and then hold that position for, a medium to longer term horizon, the same way you would with stocks. If you buy a good stock that has good cash flow, has a good business, there's no guarantee the stock's not going to drop 20 points after you buy it. But over the medium to longer term, if your logic of why you bought that stock is accurate, you should be rewarded.
Yeah. No, I agree. And let's face it, blaming others for your losses, your problems, is not a real plan for trading smarter and investing wiser. So you have to look to yourself ultimately. Anyway, Peter, as always, interesting conversation. We find your work over at kitco.com on the homepage. I'm a loyal reader myself, and I like your level-headed approach towards things. We're not getting into, emotional gobbledygook where so many people out there are. Hey, any questions for Peter or myself? Email us, kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. And don't forget, if you're listening on a podcast or watching on YouTube, please subscribe, like, and share. Really helps us a lot when you do that. Helps get message out such as Peter's and gives you opinions that you wouldn't otherwise come across. Peter, as always, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for visiting with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure, Carrie. Nice talking to you again.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.